1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. Israel is responding angrily to the Biden administration's pause on weapons deliveries. So are Republicans like Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
For 3.5 years, Joe Biden, the Democrats have undermined and weakened our friends and allies, and they have sent billions of dollars to our enemy.
Stormy Daniels is off the witness stand at Donald Trump's trial. CBS's Errol Barnett.
Trump's defense wanted to poke holes in her memory and suggest that she had ulterior motives for coming forward with her story. They suggest that perhaps she was fabricating aspects of it, which she denied.
Trump's former personal secretary is now testifying. The family of a black Air Force airman wants full transparency after a Florida Panhandle deputy responding to a call burst into the wrong apartment and killed him. Attorney Ben Crump.
It wasn't a gun exchange. He never fired a weapon or anything. He respected authority.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is touting Microsoft's multi-billion-dollar new investment in southeast Wisconsin, 6 years after Donald Trump broke ground for Foxconn, where 13,000 people were supposed to work.
Are you kidding me? Look what happened. They dug a hole with those golden shovels, and then they fell into it.
Microsoft is building a new AI data center the White House says will create thousands of jobs. Green Bay city leaders are considering rewriting the city's liquor laws for next year's NFL draft. Alders got their first look at the proposal for the changes this week. They include letting bars stay open till 4 in the morning and letting people drink on the streets. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. You can obtain an early childhood professional technical diploma through Mid-State Technical College. This new program prepares individuals to work in a variety of settings. Students will learn to support children in learning music, movement, art, and social studies. The program's 27 credits seamlessly transfer into Mid-State's Early Childhood Education Associate degree. April Nimmi is the Vice President of Early Childhood Development at CAP Services Incorporated. She said this new program is an action step that will support communities in working through the child care crisis. The technical diploma will prepare participants to confidently enter the workforce in just 1 year. There's a stand-up and improv comedy night at WRCT on May 18th. Subject to Change presents Laughter is the Best Medicine. It starts at 7, and your $20 admission includes an improv workshop at 6. Proceeds go to support Three Bridges Recovery. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the Cards in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the St. Louis Cardinals in a 4-game set at AmFam Field. The Crew losing yesterday 6-4 in Kansas City. The Royals' Bobby Witt Jr. with a home run scoring 3 times. NBA, the Bucks' Thanasis Antetokounmpo has suffered a torn Achilles tendon and will have to undergo surgery. That according to The Athletic. How he suffered the injury not been released. His younger brother Giannis telling us how much he struggled with that strained calf muscle injury.
Day of game 4 in Indiana, that was the first time I was able to jog on my body weight, you know, since April 9th. I think I tried my best to come back to help my teammates. Like, I couldn't run full speed. I could run in 30-40%. Like, until now, like, I cannot run full speed. You know, probably going to take, days, weeks, whatever, months. I don't know how long it's going to take until I get back to when I need to get back to.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, 2 different times, 1 fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Spotty showers dampen our day and breezy winds keep us cooler. As they're cranking out of the northeast with gusts up to 20 miles per hour, highs will scrape the low 60s. Stuck under mostly cloudy skies, it'll keep our overnight lows mild, hitting 40. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we bring on our ongoing friend and contributor, Peter Rapine of EPOM's World, to take a comical look back at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this May 9th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30 today, we're going to welcome in Jen McNeely. She is going to join us for the first time. She is with UW Extension. She is their natural resources groundwater educator. Looking forward to talking with her. Right now, we've been looking forward to this all week. We have Ashley Hagenow joining us, Allison Dairyland's own. Ashley, good to have you with us. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing phenomenally. Thanks so much. Excited to chat all things sustainability today.
Yeah, we're going to talk Earth Day. I'm looking forward to this, Ash.
Oh, I am too. There's so many stories to tell when it comes to sustainability and Wisconsin agriculture. So I know, like always, we will have a ton of fun.
Yeah, and this is one that certainly hits home right here in Wisconsin in our dairy industry.
It does. And so when we talk about sustainability and how our dairy farmers are sustainable when it comes to their farms and land, there is such a heartstrings story to tell as well, because in Wisconsin, 95% of our dairy farms are family owned. So dairy farming, it's a family affair. It's a way of life. And when we talk about sustainability, especially with our dairy farmers and our agricultural community, it really means caring for the land and water and surrounding communities in order to ensure the health and success of future generations. So again, there's a lot of great stories to tell when it comes to sustainability in agriculture and in the dairy industry.
Ashley, what are our farmers doing to try to help with this?
Our farmers are doing so many amazing things when it comes to practicing sustainability on their farms. Farmers are going to work with nutritionists and veterinarians, agronomists, and other experts to make sure that their animals and their land are well taken care of. And this also helps to ensure long-term business sustainability. Additionally, dairy cattle actually have a superpower all on their own because they can graze land that is not suitable for growing crops or other uses, and then they can turn those products from the land, like grasses and forages, into delicious dairy products for all of us to enjoy. And this is because dairy cattle actually have 4 stomach compartments, not necessarily 4 stomachs, but they have 4 stomach compartments that allows them to break down materials that we cannot necessarily digest as humans. And when it comes to the land and water and how our farmers practice sustainability, there are a few different ways that our farmers do that. And we can start, James, with talking about taking care of the land. Mm-hmm. So our farmers here in Wisconsin use cover crops to protect and enrich the soil on their farms. And this also helps to keep the soil full of nutrients in order that our farmers can continue to grow nutritious crops year after year on that land to feed their livestock. So there are so many sustainability stories to tell, and I'm excited to continue sharing those stories as Alice in Dairyland.
What about water conservation? How does that play into this?
Water conservation is such a huge part of our sustainability focus in agriculture. So water conservation, it's practiced on our dairy farms every day. And I recently learned, actually, that water is recycled up to 4 times on a dairy farm. So we might use water to chill the milk that is produced. This water can be used to keep our dairy cows hydrated. You can also use that same water to clean stalls and to clean the milking parlor on dairy farms. And that water is also used to irrigate crops. And in addition to the water conservation and taking care of the land, another way that our farmers protect the soil and the environment is by moving toward no-till or reduced tillage practices. And when we say tillage, this means that working up of the land in the spring before we prepare to plant for the next growing season. So we're seeing a lot of that out and about in Wisconsin now. So when we have reduced till or no-till practices, this helps to eliminate soil erosion and keep the soil healthy because, of course, we want to keep taking the best care of the soil possible in order to continue growing crops for our dairy cattle to enjoy. And it's an endless cycle when it comes to sustainability.
One of the things I appreciate when I get the chance to talk with farmers or really anybody involved with the ag industry, but especially farmers, they're students.
They are. And I have to say, as Alice in Dairyland, I'm a student each and every day, but our farmers certainly take it a step further. And they actually are students in a few ways. One of the ways is that they volunteer to participate in research that helps protect water quality. So on the topic of water conservation and water quality, our farmers work with a Wisconsin program. This is called Discovery Farms. So through this program, they attend classes and they read educational materials about ways to continuously improve their farming practices. And Discovery Farm is a program that farmers can actually volunteer to participate in. So Discovery Farms works with farmers by using equipment that is placed in a field to understand how a farm's crop practices and land management practices might affect water quality. So this partnership means that farmers are both scientists and students and are researchers across the state of Wisconsin that focus on agriculture, such as through the University of Wisconsin Extension, which you'll hear about in just a little bit. They are learning from our farmers. So there's a great relationship formed when our farmers work with our researchers and work with our universities here in Wisconsin to continue improving our farming practices and the industry of agriculture.
Ashley, you are so good. Way to tease the next segment. I appreciate you doing that. Nicely done.
You are so welcome.
Before we wrap up, we'll let people know about where they can find more information about dairy sustainability. But before that, if you don't mind, you sent along some additional info that I thought was really interesting, and I'd like to take a little time with that.
Let's dive right deep into it. I love it.
Yeah, Wisconsin dairy all starts with our dedicated dairy farm families.
They are, and you couldn't have said it any better, James. So our dairy farming families, they are committed to treating the cows and the land with the utmost care and respect because high quality care of our natural resources and our animals that we are so fortunate to work alongside yields high quality dairy products. And that is the biggest focus in the dairy industry, is taking care of our cattle and our land and our natural resources. And this is just one of the ways that we are known as America's Dairyland. And it's been a true honor highlighting the ways that our farmers practice sustainability with their animals and with their land to celebrate Earth Day that took place just a few weeks ago in April. But it's really important to highlight these stories and highlight this information all year round, because sustainability and taking care of the land and the animals, it's a way of life for our farmers every day of the week, every week of the month, and every month of the year.
Yeah, you know, I was doing some research myself before the interview. Don't mean to brag, but I was looking into it, Ashley, and it turns out we eat every day, and we need food every day. And on top of that, our farmers working every day. So it feels like Earth Day could be every day.
Exactly right. Earth Day is every single day when it comes to Wisconsin's dairy industry and the industry of agriculture. And our dairy farming families and farmers of all kinds here in Wisconsin, they are committed to driving our state forward by using those sustainable practices and by continually educating themselves and improving their farming practices. Our dairy farming families and our farmers, they drive the state forward, not just economically, but really through those sustainable farming practices. And at the base of all they do is providing the utmost care for their cows and their livestock. It's at top of mind in agriculture to take care of those natural resources and those animals. And Wisconsin's farmers do an outstanding job of doing just that.
Yeah, we've got a number of Wisconsin family-owned farms that are farmer-led watershed groups.
Yes, here in Wisconsin, we are actually home to 28 dairy farmer-led watershed groups. And these groups protect hundreds of thousands of acres of land and water by building the soil health through some of those practices that we talked about earlier and improving water quality. And this is all in partnership with the Nature Conservancy, otherwise known as TNC for short. And TNC has shared a feature of a selection of farmers in these watershed groups, highlighting their passion for protecting the soil and water and other natural resources. And this really helps our farms to remain resilient and profitable and viable in the face of ever-changing conditions in the industry of agriculture. So there's a lot of unique partnerships when it comes to sustainable practices and really spreading the good word about how our farmers are taking care of the land and water. And this partnership with the Nature Conservancy and our dairy farmer-led watershed groups is such a great example of that.
With so much going on, there we don't get a chance, I think, enough to comment and mention some of the wins that we have when it comes to this subject. And the carbon footprint of a glass of milk is an interesting place to go with this.
That's another interesting fact I've learned as Alice, is the work that our dairy farmers have been putting in for generations and generations truly shows off in a few different ways. And one of those ways, James, is through reducing the carbon footprint of a glass of milk. So the carbon footprint of a glass of milk today is 2/3 less than it was compared to 70 years ago, which was a pretty long time ago. And yet this glass of milk still has the same nutritional benefits and great taste. So I love sharing as Alice that 1 8-ounce serving of milk has the same 8 grams of protein to build strong muscles today that it did those 7 decades ago. And real dairy, when it comes from Wisconsin and all over the country, is a simple source of really key nutrients like vitamin A, vitamin D, protein, and calcium. It helps to boost our immunity. It's all part of a well-balanced diet. And reducing that carbon footprint is thanks in part to our dedicated dairy farmers and their families for putting those sustainable practices into good work over the last 70 years and even well beyond that.
Yeah, and Ashley, one last stat I wanted to get to, the percentage of Wisconsin dairy farms that are family owned.
Yes, here in Wisconsin, we are so proud to share that we have 95% of our Wisconsin dairy farms being family owned. And I also love sharing that here in Wisconsin, we have more dairy farms than any other state in the country. We have nearly 6,000 dairy farms. Again, 95% of those dairy farms are family owned. So when we talk about sustainability, when we talk about taking care of the land and the water and communities, it's all because of our dairy farming families, because of those values that they have in place. And they're doing it for the future generations and their families to continue on this amazing tradition that is Wisconsin agriculture and America's Dairyland.
And Ashley, along with you and the history of the Allison Dairyland program, there's other people out there and there's a lot of good ways that you can support your local farmers in the Wisconsin ag industry in particular. And we always encourage people to look for that label.
There are are a lot of great ways, exactly right, to support our state's dairy farming families. If you're looking to tangibly, really tangibly, support our state's dairy farmers, a super simple way to do that is by looking for that Proudly Wisconsin Dairy badge or the number 55 on milk product packaging. When you see that Proudly Wisconsin badge on butter or cheese or milk or sour cream and many other dairy products, you know that you are supporting a Wisconsin family farm and supporting our state's dairy farming families. So be on the lookout for that badge the next time you're shopping for your favorite dairy products. And if you would like to just learn more about our state's dairy farming families, hear their stories, hear how they are committed to building a sustainable future, you can visit wisconsindairy.org/ourfarms. And to close us out, another great resource that I want to share that focuses on research and development in the dairy industry is the Dairy Innovation Hub. So they harness research across UW system campuses, and this is through different priority areas like land and water, farm business and community, animal health and welfare, and also human health. So to learn more, you can visit dairyinnovationhub.wisc.edu. Lots of great resources when it comes to sustainability, celebrating Earth Month, and celebrating Wisconsin dairy products.
And Ashley, before we let you go, I just wanted to touch base with you really quick. And we're speaking with Ashley Hagenow, Allison Dairyland. Ashley, you guys had a fun weekend the other weekend, announcing a new Alice. As much as it's hard for us to say that because we don't want to think about losing you, we do have another Alice coming up. You want to touch on that just for a moment?
I am so excited to share a really exciting update with the Alice in Dairyland program. So this past weekend on Saturday, May 4th, Wisconsin has a new Alice in Dairyland, our 77th Alice. So her name is Haley Heinzel. She is from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, and she is an absolute ray of sunshine. Haley is ready to take over the reins on July 8th, officially this summer, to begin the incredible year of serving as Alice in Dairyland and promoting Wisconsin agriculture. Haley has a background in agriculture that revolves around working with local farms in her home community, promoting agriculture and dairy at the Wisconsin State Fair. She's currently a student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison studying life sciences communication, and she's had so many amazing internships and other experiences within agriculture and within dairy that will really set her up for success in the next year, serving as Wisconsin's 77th Alice in Dairyland.
I'm excited for her. We're excited to meet Haley and get to know her a little bit, but we're still going to have you with us one more time. Well, I know that you'll be joining us sometime in June. We're really looking forward to talking again, celebrating June, and we're looking forward to seeing you out around the state.
Yes, I'm so excited to end my month in such a special way, or end the year, I should say, in such a special way, promoting Wisconsin dairy and Wisconsin's dairy farmers through June Dairy Month. So we're going to have a ton of fun. I'm so excited to continue my travels across Wisconsin, promoting just what makes Wisconsin dairy and Wisconsin agriculture so very special. And I can't wait to connect next, because it's always a fun conversation when it comes to Wisconsin agriculture.
We have a blast talking with you. Remember, you can find out more going to wisconsindairy.org, wisconsindairy.org, and find out more about the Alice in Dairyland program at alicindairyland.com, alicindairyland.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. We're already looking forward to the next time, Ash. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much as well.
Take care. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are WFHR, locally grown radio.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots.
The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Gwitt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between Deep Here and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The chancellor at UW-Milwaukee is giving protesters another chance to take down their encampment. Protesters have been camped out on the Milwaukee campus since last Monday. Chancellor Mark Mohn is warning protesters that if the encampment doesn't end soon, UWM will have to take action. Mohn adds that some of the protesters' demands are impossible for UWM to legally meet. Former Wisconsin Congressman and U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan says President Biden needs to start running toward the middle.
I don't know for the life of me why he's chasing these left-wing voters. He's going to get them. Trump's going to deliver those voters for him. He's chasing the wrong voters. And so if he doesn't pivot soon, my guess is Trump wins it.
Ryan handicapping the presidential race at the Milken Global Institute conference this week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. You can register your kids now for Stuff the Desk. The United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties leads this collaborative community initiative to make sure every student has the supplies they need to learn and succeed in school. All families with financial need are eligible to receive free school supplies. To participate, parents or guardians must register by Thursday, August 1st at uwswac.org. From there, you click on the Stuff the Desk banner. You can also call 211 Monday through Friday between 8 and 5. School supplies will be distributed on August 16th and 17th at East Junior High School. When you register, you can pick your time slot, so register early. The DMV announces two new special license plates available in the state. Proceeds from the suicide prevention plate sales will go to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Proceeds from the spay-neuter adopt plate will go to the Fix Is In, Inc. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Bruce Springsteen movie project, Deliver Me From Nowhere, is picking up steam. Jeremy Allen White will play the boss, and Jeremy Strong is in talks to play the man behind the boss, manager John Landau. The film is centered around the making of Springsteen's 1982 critically acclaimed album, Nebraska. The film is being adapted from the book, Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska by Warren Zanes. Jeremy Strong is best known for playing Sebastian Roy in the HBO hit Succession. Shaquille O'Neal raised some eyebrows when he posted a message on Instagram saying, "I understand. I wouldn't have been in love with me either. Wishing you all the best. All love, Shaq." Social media speculators were out in force, saying it was probably in response to his ex-wife, Shawnee Henderson's new memoir. Shaq and Shawnee have four children together. "I promise you, I tried really hard to make a free throw joke here, but it just didn't fit. Hang in there, Shaq." For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A shower or two this evening, otherwise clearing overnight, and lows dropping down to the low 40s. For tomorrow, sunshine to start the day, then increasing clouds and a chance of showers in the late afternoon and evening. Highs in the upper 60s. Sunny and near 70 Saturday, upper 70 Sunday. Maybe a late day storm. It's 60 right now.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a couple quick tips about how to save on gas. Now, our warm-up tip is that modern cars don't actually need to warm up. Now, I remember feeling pretty smart when I let my 73 Buick Regal run for about 10 minutes before I would head out in the morning. Truth is, if your car was built in the last 30 years, the engine does not need more than 30 seconds to fully warm up. The rest of that time is just you burning money. My main tip today, though, is this. Don't spring for the premium gas. Unless your car specifically calls for high-octane gas, and there will be a note by the gas tank if it does, it's probably just a waste of your money. Now, you might need the 90 to go from Janesville to Madison, but you don't need it in your tank. Putting anything higher than 87 octane in your car is just pouring money down the drain. Get the cheaper stuff. You can feel good about your wallet and your engine. This has been your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips on how to save. Take good care.
Pat Kreidlow.
Friday morning on Up North News Radio. So what if it's not summer yet? We're starting things early by setting sail on a musical yacht rock cruise.
Up North News with Pat Kreidlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this May 9th, 2024. I have your host, James, behind the microphone, and we are welcoming to the WFHR stage for the first time. Jen McNeely is with us. She is a natural resource groundwater educator with UW-Madison Division of Extension. Jen, good to meet you.
Hey, thanks. Nice to be here, James.
Appreciate the time. Always appreciate our friends from Extension coming in and sharing the knowledge, if you will. There is nobody that comes in from Extension we don't like talking to, or there isn't a subject matter we like getting into. But there are a few times where we have one that, you know, touches so many people's lives, and it affects our daily lives so much. And we're going to get into natural resources, a couple of different things here today. But first, before we get to win all these things, Jen, one of the things you're going to learn about me, I love an origin story. I love finding out about those things.
Excellent.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, no problem. I am actually brand new to Extension. So I was hired just in February. So this is my first time being here with you, which makes it really exciting for me. So previous to working for Extension, I actually spent the last 9 years over in Portage County in Stevens Point as the County Water Resource Specialist, dealing with all things water related over there. So this was a really nice fit to transition into this position.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I was at UWSP with the Center for Watershed Science and Education, doing lots of different things. I did lake management planning in central Wisconsin, had contracts with the National Park Service to do natural resource inventories in a whole bunch of different national parks, and worked with a lot of nonprofit organizations. So you
definitely know your stuff. It's a great choice to have you in this position.
Oh, thank you.
And in all seriousness, having somebody who's literally coming from that world and been involved in it in recent time and everything, that really is plays into this well. It helps so much having somebody who's familiar with this and familiar with the area.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of my strong suits, is really being able to take kind of the technical information that our researchers and our universities are working on, and being able to communicate that to the public, because this is not an easy topic to talk about, water and groundwater. It's really confusing for folks. And so the more we can kind of just put it out there in plain terms and talk about it pretty frankly, the better it is for everybody.
So along with that, some of the goals that you're going to be doing with the job, helping communities to address groundwater and drinking water and that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure if you've been paying attention to the news, the newspapers, you know, everybody is talking about it. Everything from water quality, PFAS is the big one that we hear a lot about lately. Even to sometimes, you know, with the drier weather last summer, even quantity is kind of coming back. But it is everywhere right now, and it's something that a lot of people are talking about in a lot of different communities. So,
and I imagine it's part of the reason why education and outreach are going to be something that you're focusing on.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of different communities have a lot of different questions about what do we know, what don't we know? And so the more we can answer those questions for folks, the better off it is. And then it's also a matter of, you know, we've done a lot of sampling and we've done a lot of water testing in these areas. But decision makers are, how do we use this data to make wise decisions for our residents going forward? And that's something that we're going to be working on as well.
I want to get into a couple of things from your outline and a couple of other topics, but one of the things that I wanted to get into, and I talk about this with almost anybody I can, because this is the topic that there's a number of topics that certainly affect a lot of us in a lot of different industries. But as far as getting people talking and a conversation piece and a real talking piece, this is the one. I have representatives come in once a month. I have people from Extension. I have other industries and just coming in. And it always comes back to this, to the clean water. I'm curious, as somebody who's been in the area for a while and everything, have been in this industry for so long, it feels like 7-8 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, it was hard to get people to care about this. It really feels like we've got everybody's attention now.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. When I started at Portage County about 9 years ago, we were maybe talking about it, but not to the extent that we are right now. I think we saw a huge shift. You know, when Governor Evers came in and declared it the year of clean drinking water, I think that really kicked off the ability to have these conversations. And then from there, I think we've also got just a number of different groups working on the issue from different perspectives. You know, we have our farmer-led watershed councils that are really leading the way in the agricultural industry and talking about this and how do we keep clean water. So yeah, the willingness to have the conversation and the ability to talk about it, I think, is completely different than we saw about a decade ago. And I think that really speaks to what you said, too, about it. It touches everybody's lives. We all need clean drinking water. You know, businesses want clean water to attract new employees, and industry needs it. There isn't a single person that isn't touched by this issue.
And it certainly has gotten the attention because of that. But it is also one of the things that I get this from a handful of times I've talked with farmers or some of my friends that are in that industry. And again, 8-9 years ago, they felt alone on this subject. Yeah. Now I don't hear that. I hear, well, there's plenty of work to be done and certainly on this topic and even more awareness to be brought to the topic. It's great to for our farmers got a lot on their plate.
Oh my gosh!
It's really nice to be able to give them some support and then not to feel alone on this topic.
Yeah, and really to give them the ability to be leaders on the topic as well. I think that's something that's really unique too. You know, we all know that changes need to be made, but really, how do we make those changes and how do we support those changes? And if we're asking them to be the ones to make the changes, what better person than to tell us, okay, this is going to work, this isn't going to work?
The other thing that I think has stood out about this is we've kind of gotten away from the blame game, too. With almost any topic that comes up in society, we're one of the first things we're doing is where do we point our finger, you know, and it feels like with this one, we realized pretty quickly, oh, I got three more pointing right back at me. it seems like that we picked up on that quick. So while we are trying to figure out where we can improve this industry, it doesn't seem like we're, hey, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. We're not doing that as much anymore. It feels like
maybe not as much. I think there's still some of that. And I think it really depends on the specific area where you go to have that. But yeah, the fact of the matter is we can sit and we can blame each other all day long. That is not going to change a single thing. It's not going to move us forward in any type of direction.
Very true.
And so really we need to move past that if we really want to make a difference or to talk about this in a different way. It really can't be about blaming, you know, who's responsible.
So getting into the topic, where do residents get their drinking water from?
Sure. So a pretty cool fact is that everybody in Wood County actually gets their drinking water from groundwater. So whether you're a resident in a city or a municipality that provides you water, like Wisconsin Rapids, if you live in Wisconsin Rapids or a city like that that has municipal water services, they are pumping the water, groundwater, out of the ground and, you know, putting it through their municipal water treatment system and then pumping it to your house. Or if you're a private resident that lives out in the country and has your own private well, you are doing the exact same thing, just on a smaller scale. You're pumping groundwater out of the ground and bringing it into your home.
While I think that some might know that, I know for me, there was parts of that I didn't know. And I've talked about this subject a number of times. So I appreciate the information. And I think that it's also, we can't get to D if we don't start with A.
Right.
You know, it's important to understand some of the basics. It's important to understand where your water is coming from before we can even get into cleaning the water or making it, you know, better.
Exactly. I think a lot of times people hear drinking water and they associate it as something completely separate or different than groundwater or surface water. And that's really not the case. So like I said, groundwater and drinking water is pretty much the same thing, just different names for it, depending on how you're using it. And even surface water is connected in there. So groundwater doesn't stay in one place. It moves from higher spots on the landscape to lower spots, and our lowest spots happen to be our lakes and rivers and streams. And so our groundwater is actually discharging into our surface waters. And so whatever's impacting our groundwater is impacting our surface water and vice versa. And that's where we get our drinking water from. So it's really all connected. And when we talk about water resources, we really talk about it as like a single resource.
Jen, I'm curious, what do I need to know about drinking water?
So one of the big things that we tell people when it comes to their drinking water is you should really know the quality of it. That's super important. And it just so happens that this week is National Drinking Water Week. So this timing couldn't be any more perfect.
What a coincidence.
Right? That worked out really well.
Yeah.
So we always tell people, be aware of the quality of your drinking water. So again, if you live in a municipality and you have municipal water, you're kind of lucky in the respect that that municipality is monitoring your water quality for you. They're testing it periodically, making sure that it's meeting state standards. For those on a private well system, you really have to act as your own water utility. So you really have to take the initiative to go out and test your drinking water quality. You know, most of our contaminants that we're dealing with that we want to be concerned about, things like bacteria and nitrate, they don't have any smell, no taste. You really can't tell that they're there unless you're testing for it. So that's the big one that we really want people to pay attention to.
How is it going getting people to get in on the testing, get these households to, you know, get the sampling in, get some data?
Sure. So, you know, it can be really variable. We can have really good success sometimes. We also have a fair amount of the population that really doesn't want to know. And sometimes it's a matter of, if I don't know, then I don't have to worry about it or it can't hurt me. And there's some truth in that, that's not something that we really want to advocate for, because we really want people to be aware. You know, whatever happens after you get your test back, whatever the results, the decision is completely up to you what to do next. We just want you to be aware. So government isn't going to come in and make you fix your well or, you know, do some sort of treatment system or anything like that. That's not how that works. We just want folks to know what they're consuming and how that potentially might affect their health in the long run.
Really important information there. I can't imagine that wouldn't encourage people to get their water tested after knowing that information. I think that's very helpful, Jen. I also, if I could just piggyback on that a little bit, it's not just your land. You know, I mean, the soil connects, our rivers, our lakes, our oceans, they all connect. And if you don't want to do something about your water, I think one of the least things you can do is to get it tested, at least so we have the data and at least have that. Whatever you do from there, like you said, is on your business and all that. But I think you're only helping your neighbors, your fellow community members, your state, the world by getting that data out there.
You know, that's a really, really great point, James. Yeah, for our people who we've put in the position of making decisions for us. So, you know, whether it's our county board supervisors or our state legislators, you know, they're really trying to write policy around this in some cases. And unless they have the information to make an informed decision, they're kind of swinging by the seat of their pants, So we really want to give them the best information as well on what does this look like across the landscape? Because it certainly is not the same in every place you go. It is different, even in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. We're speaking with, is it McNally?
McNally.
It is McNally. Okay.
Yep.
We're speaking with Jen McNally. She's a natural resources groundwater educator with UW-Madison Extension. And Jen, I tried something before. I like to do a little prep work before the interviews and everything, understand a little bit of what we're talking about. And so I tried something the other day, a glass of water, and I put a states and capitals test in front of it.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, water, give me, you know, match the capital to the state and all that and everything. Nothing. Got nothing from it. Realized real quickly, this is not the way to test my water.
No.
I realized you're coming in today. I'm like, all right, I'm going to stop. How can I actually test my water, Jen?
Sure. So we always encourage people to use a state certified lab because those are going to have uniform results across the board. Mm-hmm. So That's the first thing. We are lucky here in Central Wisconsin. We have a number of state-certified labs that are really easily accessible. Probably the closest one is the Wood County Health Department. Actually has its own water lab right in the Riverblock building downtown in Wisconsin Rapids. They are certified to test for nitrate and bacteria, which are two of the big ones that we tell people to test for annually. Because they're our most common contaminants, and they also have potential health impacts as well. Mm-hmm. So that is a fantastic resource for folks. If you're looking for something a little bit more or to test for more things in your drinking water, then we have the UWSP Water Lab. Which is on campus in Stevens Point. We also have private labs that are certified, like U.S. Water, that can test a whole host of different, you know, contaminants or analytes in in the water.
It's really good information, Jen. Appreciate that. And I imagine that if you want to reach out to those or groups of the UWSP or anything like that, you can find that information online pretty easily.
Yeah, absolutely. You can just Google them. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in Wisconsin Rapids, you can certainly stop by the county health department. They're available to answer questions in person as well. The water labs are great about if you don't want to go to them. So most labs are going to require that you use a specific testing kit. If you don't want to travel to them just to pick up a water kit, most of them will mail it directly to you. And then you can even mail your water sample back to them, making it a pretty easy process.
Before we wrap up, I want to get into the idea, what if we have concerns about our water? But I am curious, and I know we touched on this a little bit before, as far as the national narrative or the Wisconsin narrative, if you will, just staying here in Wisconsin and locally in Wood County, that has improved, that the conversation has gotten better and more people are caring about the subject and everything. From when you started in this to now, have you seen improvement scientifically with the water in certain areas even?
Sure. So when it comes to water quality, that's a really hard question for us to answer. Yeah. We've been talking about this issue since the 1970s, which is hard to believe. But the way that we have been going about testing, in even recently up until now, really hasn't allowed us to answer that question very well. Mm-hmm. So what that really requires us to do is to test the same household or the same well over a period of time, so pretty routinely. Mm. You know, when we went about this, when we started going about this topic, it was just test. We just want you to be aware. And now we're getting past that point where people are testing more regularly. And we're like, okay, you know what? We really need to start, you know, designing our sampling programs and our water testing so that we can answer this question, what does water quality look like over time? And so I think we're right kind of at the beginning of that stage, which is a little bit overwhelming and a little bit scary, but it's a great thing too.
Yeah,
so.
And these growing pains are often needed to get to the growth, get to the good parts.
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, water science, water quality and groundwater in the grand scheme of things is a relatively new area of science. You know, we're learning stuff every day. I think PFAS is a great example of that. It's something that, you know, we weren't talking about 3 years ago even, and now it's the hot button topic. So this is an ever-changing world as we learn more, as technology develops, you know. So even if you think you know what your water quality, what your drinking water quality is, it's always a great idea to go back and revisit it.
Jen, I know this is our first conversation, but we're already chemistry there. I wanted to ask, if you are somebody that tests your water or have tested it in the past, how often should you test it? Is there a ballpark idea on that?
We say at least once a year.
Okay.
So for things like nitrates, they can be tricky little critters. Nitrates bounce around. Mm. And so we would fully expect you to be able to sample one day and even within 24 hours, go back and sample again. And we would expect a slightly different result. They're just ever changing. So we say once a year, just to keep an eye on things. Some folks like to go like 18 months so that you can space it out so you're hitting every season, fall, spring, summer, winter. Mm. See if there's any seasonality to your water test results.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So finally, Jen, and then we can let you go and get back to your day. You're doing great, by the way. What if I have concerns about my water?
Sure. There are a lot of great resources out there to be able to go to ask questions about. So we always say start with a test. You know, your water may look funky. It may, you know, come out with like a reddish tint or something. And sometimes that's completely harmless. That's something like iron, which is just naturally occurring, not going to affect your health. May even smell funky like rotten eggs. And that's a sulfur thing. Again, totally naturally occurring, not going to affect your health. So always start with that test result because that's going to give us a lot of great information to answer a lot of different questions and to talk about your water. From there, your county health department is a great resource no matter what county you're in. They all have environmental health specialists that kind of deal with this. DNR is another great source of information. Or you could even reach out to me. And I'm happy to talk about water quality and your specific well and water quality test results.
Appreciate that, Jen. And if people do have follow-up questions, they want to know more about this, how can can they get in hold of you?
Yeah, sure. Probably the easiest way to find my information is simply to Google either my name or just look it up on the Wood County Extension webpage.
And wrapping things up, Jen, I do have to warn you, you did a really good job, so you're going to have to come back.
I am totally happy to. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about, so we got lots of things we can cover.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of work to do on this topic, so we appreciate having you here to talk about it, help our audience understand it a little bit more and ways we can improve it. We're looking forward to talking again real soon.
Excellent. Thanks for having me, James.
Thank you, Jen. Nice to meet you.
You too.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up on WFHR. We are 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Crude and Dom.
President Biden says he'll stop weapon shipments to Israel if they invade Rafah. And Trump's back in court with Stormy Daniels. Devil's Advocates, we've got all the coverage you need.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. Israel is responding angrily to the Biden administration's pause on weapons deliveries. So are Republicans like Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
For 3.5 years, Joe Biden, the Democrats have undermined and weakened our friends and allies. And they have sent billions of dollars to our enemy.
Stormy Daniels is off the witness stand at Donald Trump's trial, CBS's Errol Barnett.
Trump's defense wanted to poke holes in her memory and suggest that she had ulterior motives for coming forward with her story. They suggest that perhaps she was fabricating aspects of it, which she denied.
Trump's former personal secretary is now testifying. The family of a black Air Force airman wants full transparency after a Florida Panhandle deputy responding to a call burst into the wrong apartment and killed him, attorney Ben Crump.
It wasn't a gun exchange. He never fired a weapon or anything. He respected authority.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out.
And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Watch out! They got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org.